Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're delighted to say to you that we're alive and well, and I'm thankful for that, and I pray that you are. We're looking forward to the issue that we'll be dealing with today. We're all familiar with the coronavirus. I'm going to be talking about the coronavirus, good news and bad news as relates to that. Good news and bad news. There is an element of good news in all of the bad news that you're hearing today. But before we get to that, before we get into our monologue, dialogue, and discussion, let me remind you the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That's your telephone number. Your call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion. Have your phones ready. Looking forward to your discussion and input on this very serious, somber, but yet good elements of this subject today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the truth book. It is called truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, the Word of God, the Bible, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, where do we get truth from? The Word of God. And what is it that sets us free? The truth of the Word of God. And then Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:6, I am truth. Then he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of God's word that should be able to set us free today, ladies and gentlemen. As we look at a text that many have referred to recently, Psalms 91, verse 1 and verse 11, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then in verse 11, for he shall give him angels charge over thee, give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Ladies and gentlemen, God's watching over him. God's in control. He hadn't gone to sleep. He hadn't gone on a vacation during the days of the trauma, the tragedy that's taking place around the globe, the hysteria and the panic that's being set about in the America in particular. Just a moment ago speaking, someone said, you know, they're saying don't panic, don't be hysterical, but at the same time saying thousands are going to die. How do you juxtapose those two things? An impossibility. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ that says that he's going to give us peace, not as the world gives us, but it's his peace, ladies and gentlemen, that he can provide for us in these days of trauma and of the tribulation that we're faced with as a society and especially as Christians and in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And then we find the statement made by the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus. The words from Jan Hus are applicable today, perhaps as never before in the history of our nation. Therefore, faithful Christians, he says, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And so may I charge you with the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, today, as Jan Hus said so many years ago, is to seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth and love the truth and tell the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, defend the truth, and even do so to death. One of the things that's needed today more than anything else is learning the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We're hearing so many voices on the horizon, so many voices from every philosophical, ideological bent, that it's hard to ferret out the real truth of what's happening in our nation. There's a motive behind many of these things that's taking place, and all you got to do is watch Nancy Pelosi and her shenanigans and what she's pulling behind the scenes to try to get every socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic giveaway program. She's trying to get inculcated in the coronavirus package, and knowing that if President Trump says no, then they will say that he is not interested in and concerned about your health and mine. It is a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of holding the hammer to his head, the president's head, forcing him to do some things that otherwise he would not do. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment along with the full line of homeowner landscape lawn care equipment and the professional landscapers equipment. They carry the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where you find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag, flowing. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We would be delighted to have your input on this broadcast today because it is serious, and yet we try to, tamp down a little of the seriousness with some of the good things that's taking place as a result of the coronavirus and the petrification that's taking place around the globe and especially in America. With all the bad news about the virus, like the number of deaths, the border closing, government illegal orders to stay at home. By the way, I'll talk about that during the broadcast. You hear me now? Government illegal orders to stay at home, staying shut up, locked up, sequestered in your home. Business disruptions, stores going bankrupt, martial law without any authority, and government telling churches, forcing churches to close. There is a bit of good news in the midst of all of this dilemmification and the darkness that we see that's brought about by the coronavirus. Some of those things that's good news, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply put it down on the bottom shelf so that we can all understand it. I think it's good news when you have families that now have to eat together in the afternoon. Yeah, families are eating together for the first time, perhaps, in the life of some of the children in the home. It's good news. It's good news, ladies and gentlemen, when the children are shut up with the parents in the home and they realize that there's some commonality between the parent and the child as far as the issues, and they're forced to sit together, talk together, and hopefully not staying on their handheld devices, but are talking together. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that the death rates dropped from 4.06% as of March the 8th through March the 20th, March the 15th to 1.84. That's good news. We're finding some good news, and part of that's as a result of so many being able to get tested, and they're making some ascertaining some things, medically speaking, determining some things that we did not have the opportunity before. Ladies and gentlemen, in some states, gasoline prices have dropped to 99 cents a gallon. That's good news. I'm looking at an article here. In fact, it's a picture. It says, gas is finally affordable, and we can't go anywhere. Gas is finally affordable, and yet we can't go anywhere. That's right comical to me. So we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, gas prices in Kentucky has dropped to the level of 99 cents a gallon. 99, it could be less than that. 99 cents a gallon. Now, with that good news, there's some bad news from the states, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana that produce so much gas and oil. They're in a frightful position, but that's another story for another day. But ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting to find that we could not find gas prices that were affordable until recently. But now, as one writer says, gas is finally affordable and we can't go anywhere. We're talking about good news today in relationship to some of the things that's taking place and what is happening with the coronavirus. We'll talk about later the bad news, but it's good news, bad news day. Good news. President Trump has stood tall in his leadership to protect Americans and American interests. I think he is doing a superb job, even with the being hammered 24/7 on the Communist Network News, still continuing to be hammered and challenged by the left-wing media and the socialist Marxist communists called the Democrats in Washington continue to being demeaned and derided by them. President Trump is standing tall, doing a super job, and I pray that God will continue to give him wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, to do the job that God has called him to do, and that I believe God divinely intervened and placed him in office to carry out for America, especially in times like these. Perhaps God has placed him in that position for times just as we're faced with today. One of the other good news items, it's very similar to what I said earlier. It's parents know where their children are now. For the most part, parents know where every child is because that child's supposed to be at home, locked up with mom and dad, if you please. The virus has forced Americans to once again produce our own medications and bring our manufacturing back to America. That's good news. It's good news in the heart of the bad news that all of our political, movers and shakers now realize that we cannot continue to allow the life and the health and the future of America to be held in the hands of the communist Chinese. They're not our friends. They never have been. They're not our friends. And by the way, just a little parenthetical footnote on that statement. You'll find if you'll take time after the broadcast and get your Bible and read Revelation chapter 9, that China is on the horizon that will come into play in the days of the tribulation in a major, major way with about a 200 million man army waging war across the globe, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about now the good news, bad news of the coronavirus. And the good news is that we're finding some of these things take place, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe would not have happened otherwise. We now see China as truly our enemy rather than a friend. That's good news. It's opening the eyes of the John Kerrys. It's opening the eyes, perhaps, of the Joe Bidens and all of those that have had so much financial deep roots in China that they have introduced bad laws and rules and regulations and guidelines in American governance that now is being brought to the forefront as the shifting takes place that shows us what's really been taking place behind the scenes with the funding and what we've done with issuing contracts to the Chinese and what they're now doing to us. The good news is, ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is one good news article that I must share with you a brief part of. The good news is, ladies and gentlemen, that euthanasia clinics that killed 898 patients last year, that's in the Netherlands, had to shut down due to the coronavirus. This article says euthanasia clinics that killed 898 patients last year shuts down amid the coronavirus crisis. The Netherlands Euthanasia Clinic has temporarily shut down amid the crisis that's there. This is the euthanasia clinic that reported euthanasia requests in 2019 were up by 22%, and euthanasia death increased to 898 from 727 in 2018. This is also the same euthanasia clinic that specializes in euthanizing the patients that have psychiatric issues and people with dementia and questionable competency. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. Some people won't die from the coronavirus that otherwise would have died from euthanasia. So it's good news, ladies and gentlemen, to me. I don't know about you, but it's good news when they are shut down and they cannot continue to dispatch to kill people. That's good news to me, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, just the day before the restaurants are closed in New York, one of the patrons gave a $2,500 tip for the staff to share because the next day is closing down. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another good news article that's in the midst of the coronavirus fiasco. The article says a 7-year-old boy sacrifices $600 savings to buy the coronavirus care packages for the elderly, for the hungry students. An unexpected philanthropist is making a difference in the lives of elderly and others who are vulnerable to the coronavirus in Gaithersburg, Maryland community. 7-year-old Kavanaugh Bell used his $600, which he had saved up over the course of 3 Christmases and 2 birthdays, to create 65 care packs for those in need. Along with the care packages, Bell purchased 31 meals from an Italian restaurant for the senior citizens at the Hillside Seniors Home to help eateries affected by the restaurant shutdown put in place by the governor of their state. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen. You're seeing some good things coming out of some good people that otherwise would not be highlighted or we would not know anything about. I am thankful to say that that's good news, and we see those things taking place today and I'm thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today an individual that I believe is going to help us to walk through the balance of this broadcast with some insight and information. He and I are going to continue to talk about the good news, the bad news, the coronavirus. Then we're going to talk about the legislative session that just ended in Tallahassee. Then we're going to talk about one of the key issues that is a problem in the state of Florida that we need to absolutely become involved as citizens and deal with to assist the lives of the unborn and to protect the lives of the unborn in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today one of the representatives, represented from District 1, the Florida House of Representatives District 1 from Pensacola, Congressman Mike Hill. Mike, delighted to have you with us today.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I am thankful that you're available, and I know that you've just finished a trek with the hallways in Tallahassee there at the Capitol. And I know that because of your stand on moral, ethical, spiritual things and your relationship to Jesus Christ and as a conservative Republican, that you continue to do the job that God has placed you there for. We've talked about today, and you've heard some of my monologue at the outset, and it's a dual, twofold monologue. We're talking about the good news, and then we'll talk about the bad news about the coronavirus and what we see taking place. Congressman, we see bad news changing, evolving every day. Give us your introspection and your outlook as to what you see from a Christian, professional man, from a conservative Republican. What do you see taking place, not just in the state of Florida, but on a global and then trickle down to a national level? Talk to our listeners for a moment on that issue.
Well, first of all, we can all say, Dr. Youngblood, that this is unprecedented. We have not seen anything like this before in modern times. And I will say that because it is affecting so much globally, I believe there's no denying it is also affecting things spiritually. Yes. I believe that God is on the move. We don't know what it's going to be right now at this point, but this much we do know, Dr. Youngblood, that God will win. He is faithful, and he is going to make sure that this turns out the way he wants it to. Not the way that any global leader or anyone else wants it to turn out. This is unprecedented, and I think we are seeing right now a seismic shift, not only in world politics and world economics, but also in a spiritual realm. And we'll have to see what God has in plan for us. That being said, I believe that President Trump is doing a tremendous job right now. He is doing the best he can with the tools that are available to him. And one thing that I really like is that he is doing what is called federalism, which our 10th Amendment to the Constitution allows for us to have. It says the power belongs to the states and to the people. And so he is saying, hey, any moves that you want to make in terms of shutting things down and so forth, he says, I'm leaving that to the governors. So he is allowing governors to implement what they like seeing done.
The last you stated that, and you emphasized that it's the governors, and he's leaving it to the governors, which is federalism at its best, if I could interject that. But what do you say, and what should we think, and how should we receive it, Congressman, when we see mayors across America? Mayors as the one in New Orleans that now has issued an order banning the sale of guns and ammunition and even the transportation of firearms and ammunition. How do we respond to that? Where does that come into play as to the contravening of our liberties and our Bill of Rights?
Well, that's why we are a republic, Dr. Youngblood. A republic as opposed to a democracy. A democracy says that majority rules or mob rules. A republic says you can only do so within the constraints of the rule of law. The ultimate authority of the rule of law in our land is our Constitution. A mayor in New Orleans does not have any constitutional authority to be able to ban the sale of firearms or ammunition. that goes directly against the Second Amendment of our Constitution. So the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. So what do? You defy that illegal, unconstitutional law. And if I were a gun shop owner, I would remain open. I would. Now, if they can do what they think is next, they will come and shut it down or arrest you or whatever. And then we have our court system to take care of it from there. You file a lawsuit and say you have no authority to do this. And you win that lawsuit, assuming that we have a judicial branch that will also follow our Constitution and the rule of law. So when you come to, authorities come down with illegal, unconstitutional mandates that as private citizens, you don't have to obey those. You don't have to be like sheep and just go and be herded wherever they tell you to go. Not if it is unconstitutional. They have no authority to do it, then you don't do it. Now, that's one reason why at the state level, they have declared emergencies. And when they declare an emergency, that gives them unfettered power to do a number of things according to the Florida statute. I'll speak for Florida. According to Florida statutes, which are currently written, it gives them additional power and authority that they normally would not have. And that's why the governor can issue things like no one can go into restaurants and hospitals can only do emergency surgeries or anything that is only elective surgery you can't perform. It's because they declared that state of emergency.
I'm glad you touched on that with the hospitals being forbidden in the era in which we're living and the crisis that we're all in the vortices of, that the hospitals cannot do anything other than needed surgery and not elective surgery. And yet, I believe, Congressman, we have today abortion clinics still murdering babies, which is an elective surgical procedure. How do you respond to that, and what should we do? What does Florida stand on that?
Well, I'm actually addressing that issue as we speak, Dr. Youngblood. Here in Pensacola, we have the American Family Planning Clinic, which was shut down a number of years ago because of a bill that was signed into law, which says that in order for an abortion provider to operate at the facility, that provider must have admitting privileges or a transfer agreement at a nearby hospital. Well, here in Pensacola, we have three main hospitals. There's Sacred Heart Baptist Hospital and West Florida Hospital, which is part of the HCA network. None of them provided admitting privileges or a transfer agreement to an abortion provider. So the clinic was shut down. It was shut down for about 2 years. And then last August, it suddenly reopened. And that surprised a lot of people. So I contacted ACA and I said, why are they open again? It says, well, we have a form here that they sign that says that they have admitting privileges or a transfer agreement. I said, they do. She says, yes. So I got a copy of that form. And then I checked with all three of our local hospitals. None of them had granted admitting privileges or a transfer agreement to that abortion facility. So in other words, they perjured themselves on an official government document signing and declaring that they had those privileges. So I go back to ACA and I said, they do not have admitting privileges or a transfer agreement. And here are statements I have from each of the CEOs. We should shut them down. Well, as I say, this was last September, October. To date, ACA has not shut them down. So I went a little further. I sent a letter to the Attorney General's office, sent a letter to the governor's office, sent a letter to the state attorney's office, with all the documentation to show that this facility had perjured itself. And the response I keep getting is, we're investigating. We're investigating. I said, what do you need to investigate? I provided you with all the documentation. They perjured themselves. They should be shut down. And then more recently, the governor came out and said that all elective surgeries are to be suspended, stopped. But this abortion facility, which is already operating illegally and unlawfully, this past weekend murdered more preborn children of people who come to that facility. Ironically, most of the people coming to the facility have license plates from out of state, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, because they have pretty much shut down abortion in those states. So they come here and are having the procedure done. Well, I immediately sent a letter to our local sheriff, who is the highest elected authority.
Yes, constitutionally elected.
That's right. Sent a letter to him and say, hey, why are they operating? They should be shut down. They are disobeying the executive order, and they are also disobeying Florida statute, which prevents them from operating. And the sheriff assured me he would look into it today. We'll see, Dr. Youngblood. I hope so. But I've been told the same thing since last August. Where
tell me something. Congressman, let me just interject a question. I'm concerned and highly motivated to ask you to say to our listeners, and may I, before I ask the question, suggest a potentiality. Is it possible that we the people in the state of Florida, all of those that's hearing this broadcast today, is it possible for we the people to become involved and to help, how would you say, not necessarily calling it putting pressure on, but to motivate our governor to declare this an emergency, as he has for the balance of the state, and shut them down, if nothing else, but temporarily, until this coronavirus question and crisis is resolved. And at the interim, maybe the officials can do the proper investigation and make it a permanent closure. How can we become involved to motivate the powers to be in Tallahassee to do something immediately?
That's a great question, Dr. Youngblood. And there are two things that your listeners can do. Number one, contact your state representative and your state senator and demand that these abortion facilities abide by Governor DeSantis' executive order, which stops elective surgery. If you look at these facilities, they do not, for some reason, have to abide by the same safety and sanitary standards as any other surgical clinical facility has to. So the probability of them spreading the virus has increased greatly. Yes. That is something that we are trying to stop. So number one, contact your state representative and state senator and demand that these facilities abide by the executive order. Number two, you can also directly contact the governor and demand the same thing. You can go to myfloridahouse.gov, and you will find a way there to get the address to email the governor and also your state rep and state senator. The other thing to do, Dr. Youngblood, is on the Agency for Healthcare Administration website, there is a form that you can click on where you can submit a concern or complaint about a particular facility. And in light of the executive order that Governor DeSantis issued on Friday, they should reference that order and on that form demand that ACA conform to the law. They are a state agency, and those executive orders apply to state agencies, and demand that they close these facilities until further notice.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. We're listening to and talking with and interviewing today Florida House of Representatives District 1, Mike Hill. So we'll be back in just about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.